Welcome to the podcast of Redeemer Baptist Church of Panama. We hope that you enjoy the sermons and other audio provided by us. Feel free to share what you find here, and we hope that it will be beneficial to you as you seek to know and follow Christ.
If you would, turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, we've been going through the book of Romans, and I think that today's text is actually quite fitting for a Resurrection Sunday. Now, we always think about the story of what took place on that morning. And you know, Friday is the day that we think about and we ponder the suffering that Jesus had on the cross, that he was beaten, that he was mocked, that he was tried before Pilate, and he was taken to an old rugged cross and he hung there. And we know from history that just the science of crucifixion, that as he hung there, he would push up so that he could just get a breath on the peg that was there down by his feet, because the way someone would die in crucifixion was to suffocate to death. And because the sun was coming down and it was about time for the Sabbath, the chief priest didn't want him to be up on the cross when the Sabbath came. So the soldiers came by and they pierced him in the side to make sure that he was dead, but blood and water flowed, showing that he was already dead. We know his last words there on the cross were, "It is finished." Our salvation was accomplished. He finished it there on the cross. And yet he lay there in the tomb Friday, Saturday, Sunday morning, and he rose from the dead. Oh, Peter and John, they ran towards that tomb after they heard from Mary that she'd already been there. They ran towards that tomb, and we know John 1. Jesus is alive. He rose from the dead. The grave clothes were folded. We know he's coming again. This morning, we're going to look at a text where it talks about what Jesus accomplished in this death and resurrection. Last week, we looked at a passage about how sin came into the world through one man. Adam introduced sin into the world through that first sin, original sin. And yet, in that same way, Jesus is a man who the whole world hinges upon. Jesus is a man that affected many for life. While Adam was one who affected many for death, Jesus was one who brings life. And life is what we think about on Resurrection Sunday. Let's go ahead and look at our text, beginning in verse 15 of chapter 5 of the book of Romans. "But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace reign through that one man." I'm sorry, I skipped a line. "For if because of that one man's trespasses, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what you accomplished on the cross. We thank you that you said it is finished. Father, we pray that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to believe and obey. And Father, we pray that you would, Lord, enliven us today. Help us to rejoice in your resurrection. And Father, help us to live a new life, not like we used to live. Lord, we love you. We pray that you give me strength and grace as I preach your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 15 is where we begin, but it does start off with a contrast. I think that it's contrasting here with verse 12, just as sin came into the world through one man. We talked about this last week. Adam sinned. He partook of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And because of that, death came into the world. Death came. Sin came through Adam. And because of sin, death came. And all men die because of Adam's sin. And the last week's text ended with Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. Now, what's a type? What's a type? In the Bible, we see this phrase, a type, this word, a type, to talk about a pattern that we see, a relationship between a character in the Old Testament that points forward to Christ. Melchizedek is a famous type, and it talks about that in the book of Hebrews. Melchizedek is a type of Christ. Now, if you don't remember who Melchizedek was, back in the book of Genesis, there was a priest that Abraham came and gave a tithe to. And the one thing that's unique about about Melchizedek is he does not have any kind of genealogy. We know he's a king and a priest of the Most High God. And yet, in the Jewish tradition, a priest and a king, that was something you get by genealogy. You were a son of David or in the line of Aaron. But Melchizedek had no genealogy that he derived his priesthood from. In that same way, the book of Hebrews tells us that Jesus is our great high priest. That he and his priesthood is not based upon a genealogy. He wasn't from the tribe of Levi. No, his priesthood was based on the power of an indestructible life. And that connection there between Melchizedek and Jesus, it wasn't that everything was 100% down the line, but there was one point of connection. That priesthood was not what they expected. It was not based on genealogy, but it was based upon God's choice. It was based upon an indestructible life, as the book of Hebrews tells us. We see other types in the Old Testament. In a way, Joseph was a type of Christ. And we know that Joseph was sold down into slavery in Egypt, and God raised him up so that he would save many people. And in that way, Joseph is a type of Christ. He was a person who was betrayed by his own brothers. But it ended up, God used that and brought salvation to the world. We see Noah is also another type of Christ. The world was condemned, and yet God came to Noah and told him to build this ark, and he built this ark, and the world was saved. Samson and all the judges are types of Christ. God's people were distressed, they were hurting, and God sent a judge to come and deliver them from their oppressors. These are types of Christ. And here, Adam was called, in the text we looked at last week, a type of Christ. Usually there's some kind of point of comparison between the two characters. Now, the point of comparison between Adam and Christ is actually a contrast. From Adam, death reigned. Adam brought death into the world, but Jesus brings life. Jesus brings life. And here we see in verse 15 an explanation of this type. But the free gift is not like the trespass. Amen? It's not like the trespass. The trespass brought death. The free gift brings life. For if many died through the one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift of by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. Oh, so we have death. Many died, and by many, we know all of humanity, every human being that has been born ever since Adam all the way up to the present day, either has died or will die physically, and also spiritually. Death, we die physically because in the moment that Adam partook of that fruit, in the moment that sin came into the world, we were all spiritually dead. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us we are dead in our trespasses and sins before we've been made alive together with Christ. Death was brought into the world, but so much more. Look at that in the text. Much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded. Oh, it's so much. It's surpassing. It's grace. It's a free gift. From Adam, we get death. From Jesus, we get grace. We don't get what we deserved. Amen? We deserve what Adam got us. We deserve death. We get the free gift. We get the free gift of life through Jesus. Verse 16. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. Oh, here, we get a free gift instead of death, and we also have different results here. The free gift is not like. So there's that typology again. It's not like. There's difference between Adam and Christ. The free gift is not like the results of that one man's sin, for the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. Adam's sin, God brought judgment on Adam's sin, and it brought condemnation to the entire human race. Because of Adam's sin, we all, before Christ, stand condemned, headed for hell for an eternity. But the free gift, on the contrast, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. Jesus' free gift overcomes the many trespasses. And just think of how many trespasses, how many sins have taken place in the world since Adam. Oh, I mean, back in Noah's time, it was every thought of the heart of man was continually evil all the time. And we can think of things like Sodom and Gomorrah. We can think of the wickedness of the people who slaughtered Jesus upon the cross. And that's just a fraction of all the sin. And we think in our own day of World War I and World War II and all the wars that have been fought. Death and slaughter. And we see in our world today so much sin. And we don't have to look to the outside. We don't have to look at other people. We don't even have to watch the news to see the sin in the world. We just look at our own heart. In spite of the many transgressions, the gift, the free gift, overcomes all of those trespasses, and we get justification. Notice the contrast here between justification and condemnation. What we deserve is condemnation because of Adam. Condemnation is also a legal declaration of guilty, and instead we get justification. God looks at us because He has saved us. We have trusted in Him. He looks at us and He says, not guilty. It's a legal declaration that says we are no longer receiving the penalty of sin. Verse 17. So this tells us there's a reason. There's a reason here. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man. So we see, not only did Adam bring in sin and condemnation, but we see death throughout all of human history because of this one man. But if because of that one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more. Here again, we have that same phrase again. Much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Notice the contrast of reigning. Death is what reigned from Adam till Christ. Death is what reigned. And in that we see, God created humanity to reign. He created Adam and Eve in the garden, and he gave them dominion over all the creatures. They were to be king and a queen of all the earth and bring dominion over all the creatures. And they were to reign. But because of Adam's sin, death reigned over them. Now, those who receive the free gift, if you receive Jesus, if you trust in him, you reign in life. Some would look at this and think, well, that's the future. Jesus is going to come back and we're going to reign with him. And that's true. But that's not what the text says. The text says, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life. Right now. Through the one man, Jesus Christ. We don't have to wait. We're reigning in life. We have a new life. Our old man is gone. We are a new creation. We are reigning in life. This talks about with the condemnation, God has now freed us from the penalty of sin. And because we reign in life, Jesus has freed us from the power of sin. Oh, we still sin. We long for the day whenever he comes again. And we are raised to new life again physically. When he comes again and we're resurrected just like he was resurrected, and we will be forever freed from the presence of sin. But we are right now free from the penalty, and we are free from the power of sin. As we reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Verse 18. Therefore, he's drawing implications from everything he said so far. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification for all men. We have Adam, we have Christ. Adam had one act. He's not talking about all of the sins that Adam ever committed, but just that one act, that first original sin when he ate of the tree of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. That one act brought sin and death into the world. So, also, in comparison, Jesus, his one act of righteousness. Verse 18. One act of righteousness leads to justification for all men. Now, what are we talking about, this one act of righteousness? Well, do we see Jesus' life as a whole and his complete perfect obedience throughout his entire life? Is that the one act of righteousness? Or maybe it's something like what the book of Philippians says, whenever it says that he humbled himself by becoming obedient even to the point of death. When Jesus went to the cross, he was being obedient to his Father. This was the one act of righteousness. At least it was the culmination of all of his acts of righteousness. He went to the cross, and that one act of righteousness brings justification for, it says here, all men. Now that all men might confuse us a little bit. We don't believe in universalism, that all people will eventually be saved. There is a heaven and there is a hell. And hell is real, and Jesus talked a lot about it. So what do we mean here whenever we say all men? Well, I think that it has to mean that there is no other one. I mean, if any man is going to be saved, if any man is going to be justified, it's only through Jesus. He's the only one who can do it. So, there's a little bit of a difference in the way we understand it. Adam's sin universally for every single human being brought death. And Jesus, for everyone who trusts in him, for everyone who is in Christ, brings justification. We are declared righteous. Verse 19. For as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. Here again, many is used in place of all. But all of us were made sinners. So he's kind of using those terms a little bit interchangeably. The many were made sinners. So by that one man's obedience, Jesus, by that one man's obedience, the many, that's all those who trust in him, will be made righteous. The way theologians talk about this, Adam and Jesus are our what they call federal heads. When we are born, Adam is our head. He was the representative of all humanity. It was him that all of the stake of all humanity was on him. He was our representative, and he failed. And Jesus is the other head. Federal head of all humanity. We are either in Adam or we are in Christ. And the way to go from being in Adam to being in Christ is by trusting in him. He made a way. He died on the cross, as we celebrated on Friday. He died on the cross. He was buried and he rose again. Trust in him. He completed the work. He said, it is finished. Trust in him. You don't have to clean yourself up first. You don't have to make yourself righteous. He declares you righteousness when you believe on him, when you trust in him, when you bow down before him. Trust in him. Oh, in church, believers, think of what Jesus has done for us already. He has freed us from the penalty of sin. We are now no longer in Adam. We are in Christ. If we are believers, he has freed us from the penalty of sin. He has freed us from the power of sin. And one day he will free us from the presence of sin forever.
Listening to this message from Redeemer Baptist Church of Panama. For more information, please visit us at redeemerbaptistpanama.com or you can like us on Facebook.